Appreciate the opportunity to be here. This was actually a part of a class that I had over at Smart Road. Faith versus the faith. They are not identical, and they are never used as synonyms because they represent two very distinct ideas. In fact, it would be very accurate to say that Christians have faith in the faith. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 4, 5, and 6 reads, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." While faith is never used as a synonym for the faith, I'll just pull a pop quiz since we're in the quiz mode here. What would be a synonym for the faith? The gospel. Absolutely. Right answer. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I'm going to read the first four verses to you. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And here's the basic tenets of the gospel, or the faith. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is, in fact, the gospel faith that Paul preached. These are the saving principles, the soul-redeeming principles, the life-giving principles of the faith that was once delivered to the saints that Jude talks about in the third verse of his book. I'm as aware as you are that there's 16 chapters in that book of 1 Corinthians, and there's 13 chapters in the second letter. There's a lot to the faith, but that is the basic fundamental heart and soul of the gospel faith. Now, let's turn your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where faith is discussed, which is very distinct difference between faith versus the faith. I know you are very familiar with these, and you've heard many classes and many sermons on them, but I guess you're going to hear another one. Hebrews 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I know many of you have different translations. I'm reading from the King James. And I've been unable to find a better definition than what I'm going to read you here. It's actually a combination of several translations. "Faith is confidence as to things hoped for, conviction as to things not seen." Faith is defined as having relation to two classes of objects, things hoped for and things unseen. And the second class includes the first. All the things we hope for are unseen. What we see and have are not objects of hope. We already have them. But things not seen include things hoped for. And faith contains different elements with reference to these two different classes of objects. With reference to the things unseen, that includes things in the past, the present, and the future. That is not an object of sight or knowledge. With reference to them, faith is conviction. What's conviction mean? Another pop quiz. Assured or being convinced. Faith is conviction or being convinced about those things. Some of you maybe have served on a jury. And when you hear testimony from the various witnesses, if you're convinced that the testimony is true, you believe it. If you're not convinced, you don't believe. If you're not sure, that's called doubt. But when you have conviction, you are convinced that the things are true. Let's go through the, we're going to look at the first 10 verses of Hebrews 11. And I want you to keep that definition in mind. I'm going to read it to you one more time. Faith is confidence as to things hoped for, conviction as to things not seen. And faith has a relation to those two different classes. The first example we have is in verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, this is an interesting first example. He gives this definition that has those two different elements about things not seen and things hoped for. But the first thing he tells us about is the creation. Does anybody here hope for the creation? It's a thing in the past. We believe it. We understand it. I'm convinced it happened. I'm convinced God created this. But we don't hope for it. It's already taken place. So the first example he gives only meets part of his definition. But that's okay because I have faith, lots of things. I believe that the Revolutionary War happened in this country when our country started. I don't really hope for that. But I'm convinced that it happened. And likewise with the creation. So it meets the first part of that definition. Example 2, in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Well, what was the object on which Abel's faith rested? When he brought that sacrifice, what? He offered it to an invisible God. Did he not? So what did his faith rest on? What was the hope there? Well, he offered that lamb, I believe, with the hope of receiving a blessing from the hand of the invisible God. It wasn't just that he was convinced that God existed. That was the only thing. So what? Why would that move you to take one of the lambs of your flocks and put it on an altar? It's because he believed that there was going to be a blessing. He was believing in a blessing or hoping for a blessing after offering that lamb. So now we begin to see that the development of that definition that he gives us. The next example, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now we can see the two elements of Enoch's faith. He believed that God is. I don't believe that Enoch saw God as a man, but he believed in him. I believe, we'll get into this later, I believe God did speak with him, but we'll get into that in a little bit later. But he had confidence and a hope for reward. And those two verses are together. Verses 5 and 6 are together. We don't know a whole lot about Enoch from the book of Genesis, but here we're told that he had faith. And this, in what we would say is an invisible God, and it moved him. He was so convinced, and whatever the instruction was on how to walk with God, he did it with the hope of receiving a blessing from it. The next example, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Here we got an invisible God and something else that's not seen. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So here we have conviction to an unseen flood, yet in the future, and confidence in the hoped for deliverance of his family under the promise that God had made. He said, I want you to build an ark. But what's an ark? What's rain? What's a flood? We don't have all that conversation recorded for us in the book of Genesis. But he believed in the unseen God, and he believed in something nobody had ever seen at that time. So he was convinced it was true and was going to happen, but he was equally convinced and confident in the hoped for deliverance. And it moved him to act on what was instructed to him. Verses 8, 9, and 10, but we'll take verse 8 first, the next example. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He left his land. He left his family, his then family, which would have been his parents and his siblings, and went off on a journey. He didn't know how long he was going to be gone. He really didn't know even how far he was going to go to receive a land for an inheritance. He didn't even know where the land was. That's conviction. He was convinced enough to make a 1,300-mile journey, not even knowing where he's going. But because God told him, he believed it. He was convinced that the unseen God, he believed what the unseen God told him, and he believed in this unseen land. And he makes that journey because he had confidence that he was going to possess it because God told him he would. Now, verses 9 and 10, which is really a little bit different incident in his life. Verse 9 kind of is part of it, though. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. So he gets over there. As in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was 75 years old when he left his native land. He was 175 when he died. So for 100 years, he lived in a tent. Now, I know David's a camper. I think most of you may have had some experience of camping. Abraham lived in a tent for 100 years. And you might think, well, that's not any big deal. People of that era of time, people of that culture lived in tents, and that's true. I'm not sure he was living in a tent back home. But he lived in a tent because he knew it was a temporary thing. He was looking for a city, and he hadn't reached it yet, whose builder and maker is God. So there was the hoped for blessing. And he was confident. He was confident in what God told him, and he was also confident that he was going to receive the blessing that was promised. That was his faith. So then this question comes up. We've already discussed the faith being the gospel, or a synonym for the faith would be the gospel. Well, it defines faith here as a belief, a conviction, being convinced, and having confident expectation of what you're hoping for. Well, how does one obtain faith? How does one acquire faith? Can you go to Walmart and just purchase it? Where do you get faith? How do you get it? Romans 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, let's go through those same examples and see if that holds true. Okay? Our faith that the worlds was created by the word of God. Well, where did we get that? How did we come to that knowledge, and how did we come to that belief? Through the word of God. Okay, Abel had, he was convinced and had confidence that led him to offer that. Now this is a little challenging, because I would challenge you to go back to the record in Genesis and find where God told him that. And you're going to come up short. But the Apostle Paul, who's inspired by the same Holy Spirit that Moses was inspired by to write the book of Genesis, Apostle Paul, well, the writer of Hebrews, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, tells us that by faith, Abel did that. The Apostle Paul did write the book of Romans, and we're told there that that comes by hearing the word of God. So even though the details are left out of that conversation, the details of the conversation are left out of the record, that's the better way of saying that, in the book of Genesis, I'm convinced, based upon the testimony of this witness, that it happened. At some point, even though we don't have that conversation, God told Abel what he wanted. And Abel believed it. Abel was convinced that God wanted that, and he had a confident expectation that upon giving that to God, that he would receive a reward, receive a blessing. Okay, Enoch, you're going to find the same thing. It's a very brief record in the book of Genesis. But again, we're told here he did this by faith. And if faith comes by hearing by the word of God, then at some point, some way, even though the record we don't have, God told Enoch what he wanted out of him. And Enoch happily complied. Now Noah, we get a little more revelation here. The revelation starts getting a little fuller, which I think that's an interesting thing, just as a side note. As we go through the Bible, revelation gets clearer, does it not? These examples in Genesis, step by step, revelation gets a little clearer. And that's just the way the Bible is. The further you go into it, the clearer it gets. So we have the case where God tells him what he wants. This is Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 13 and 14. In faith. So God, we have God telling Noah about what he wants him to do. So we have that record. The faith cometh by hearing in that particular account. So Noah believes, he's convinced, even though he's convinced that an unseen God is speaking to him, and he's convinced about an unseen event that mankind had never seen. And he moves with fear to the building of the ark. Abraham, the first example we have of him, the record of God telling him to leave his country, we have that in Genesis, the 12th chapter. His conviction and confidence in a city whose builder and maker is God. It came to Abraham by some revelation, but I challenge you to find it in the book of Genesis. But the writer of this book, inspired by the same Holy Spirit of the writer of Genesis, it came to him by some revelation. The very first verse of this very book, Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 1, some of you could quote it for me. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoken to the fathers by the prophets, he did it in numerous ways. Sometimes it was in a dream. Sometimes it was in a vision. Sometimes he spoke from a fiery bush. I'm not sure how he spoke, but I do know that he did. Somehow he conveyed what he wanted to these people, and they believed it and acted on it. By faith, Abel worshipped. By faith, Enoch walked. By faith, Noah worked. By faith, Abraham watched. And if any of you have the New King James Version, this verse is rendered waiting. Doesn't that summarize what we're doing? We offer worship. We sang all the songs that Rhett led us in, walking with the Savior. Noah worked. Abraham was watching for a city, waiting for a city. How perfect of an example for the writer to show us that faith, I want to read that definition to you again, is confidence as to things hoped for, conviction as to things not seen. I used an example a moment ago about, if you've ever been on a jury, you hear testimony from witnesses. What is it, 1 John 5? Maybe Chad could quote that for us. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. How many times have you took the advice or the recommendation of somebody, that, hey, this is a good place to eat, or this is a good place, they usually have the best price on ABC, XYZ. I like this doctor. I think he's a good doctor. And based upon that testimony, because you trust who's telling it to you. If there's no testimony, there's no faith. But we have divine testimony. You may have faith in the recommendation of a friend that a certain place is a good place to go do business. And that's a level of faith. We have divine testimony, which produces divine faith. If somebody promises you something that I'll come over, or they're going to come over and do some work for you, mow your grass for you or something, and you hope that they come over because it's getting tall and it's very wet, Well, without promises, there's no hope. You can only hope for something that there's a promise. We have divine promises from somebody who cannot lie. And that gives us divine hope. And we have commands. If you are commanded by your boss or somebody, coworker, to do something, or the policeman tells you to pull over, you obey because he's given you a command. We have divine commands. And when we do it, that is divine, loving obedience. And that's what we have in these examples of faith. So we have faith. We have a belief because it was given to us. We had the testimony of somebody who cannot lie, but we've never seen him. He's an invisible God. He's invisible to our human eyes. But we see through the eye of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Abraham or Enoch walked by faith. We worship an unseen God. I've never seen Jesus either. There have been people that lived at one time that did see him. Even a lot of them didn't believe, so it isn't necessarily a required thing to see Jesus, because a lot of people saw him and didn't believe. But we see him through the eye of faith, because we believe the testimony of himself and his apostles. And this is all building up to that is the, those are the elements of the faith. It's that body of belief, that body of teaching, that body of doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus and his apostles. So we end up having faith in the faith. And if you're here this afternoon, because I don't know everybody in this audience, and you've never acted on that belief, on that conviction, that confidence, and you'd like to, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what baptism mimics. We die to our sins, we're buried with him in baptism, we rise to walk in newness life with him. If you're here this afternoon and you would like to do that because you haven't, or if there's any other thing that the church could assist you with, whatever that need is, would you make it known as we stand and sing the invitation song?